Everyone, hope you're having a good feast out there. As we just heard, we're getting close to the end of things here. And we're already in the seventh day. And boy, it seems like it goes faster every year, doesn't it? Get more and more active, more and more activities. Maybe we get a little bit older, time means less. These types of things make it feel like we're going so fast. Of course, it says that time flies when we're having fun, too. So I suppose that's a good thing, right? I suspect out here today we have some kids that have already picked out various components of the decor today. How many kids out there do we have from 0 to 12? And if you're in the months category of 0, then maybe the parents could raise their hand. How many do we have out there? Quite a few. We like that. New generation coming along there. How many of you out there were born in the church today, any age? Born in the church? A little bit more. A few more out there. Well, that's great. It's exciting to see that. With all the different generations, you know, from the seniors' day we had yesterday, and the youth day, you know, we're all connected as a family. It's great to see the different elements together here. I want to talk a little bit more closely, of course, today about children, and I want to leave you with a couple messages to take home with you, young people. Things that are exciting, things that are very positive for you, and something that you can hold on to, and hopefully you can believe in your life. And that you can understand how much God is for you and what God is doing for you, specifically for you youth that are here today. You want to see a little bit of glimpse of this? Why don't you turn with me to Numbers 14. Numbers 14, we'll get there in a minute. I want to ask you a couple questions. Do you hold the world together, young people? Are you a reason why more people are born every day? Are you the reason why even prophecies can fail? Now, I know each of you is wondering, well, where in the world is he going with that? And I will explain that here as we consider some familiar stories. We could read about Noah. I'm not turning there, but in Genesis 6, verses 1 through 8 and 23, mankind comes the closest it ever had, at least since Adam and Eve, and being totally annihilated. I'm done with this mess. You know, I think one of the saddest scriptures that I've read in scriptures with man, God said, I'm sorry I ever even created him. It's one of the very saddest scriptures I think that God could have told us. But he was. He said, I'm very sad. But due to one family, God allows man to continue. And in Numbers 14, starting in verse 11, we read, then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me with all of the signs which I have performed among them? I think sitting here today with the Holy Spirit working in you, you also wonder, well, why wouldn't such miracles just drive the whole world into that? It is. It's hard to understand why that wouldn't happen from our point of view. Why these people wouldn't follow God. So God says that he's going to take them out. He says, I'm going to work with you, Moses. I'll bring people back up through your line. But when we read down in verse 19, Moses says, no, God, please pardon the iniquity of this people, I pray, according to the greatness of your mercy, just as you have forgiven this people from Egypt until now. And then in verse 20, the Lord said, I have pardoned according to your word. Moses stood up. Moses said, I'm not seeking my own glory in this, God. I want to stand up for my people, my countrymen. I want to stand in the gap. But the point is that God considered that relationship with Moses so special that he allowed all of these other people to continue living. To continue going on. Now, we know that some of them did not go into the promised land, but their descendants did. As a people, they survived. They continued on. We could speak about the situation in Sodom and Gomorrah, where Abraham asked God if he would spare the cities if only a few people could be found there. And God said, yes, if you can find a few people in there, then I will spare those cities. Again, showing how special you are. And children, I think that you've heard these stories. You've heard of the Israelite nations. Our nation, and you've heard of the crossing the Red Seas and all of the different miracles that he performed for them. You've heard about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. So these stories should be familiar to you. And I want to continue pointing out again that you're a part of this and that God is looking at you the same in a very special and unique way as he did with them. Turn with me to Jonah 3 and verse 4. Jonah 3 and verse 4. And here we will find a special people. Or find a people that heard the eight-word prophecy. They were special in one sense. In Jonah 3, beginning in verse 4, another account of the same type of situation. Jonah 3 and verse 4, Jonah has his eight his prophecy. He says, "And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk, and he cried out and said, 'Yet 40 days and Nineveh will be overthrown.'" That was his prophecy. That's what God had told him to go and say to Nineveh before he was swallowed up by the big fish. Remember that story? And he refused to go at first. So the people of Nineveh believed God, though. They believed what God said through Jonah, and proclaimed a fast and put a sackcloth on. And from the greatest to the least of them, then the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne and laid aside his robe, covered himself with sackcloth and ashes, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Do not let them eat nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily to God. Yes, let everyone turn from his evil way and from the violence that is in his hands." Then God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God relented from the disaster that he had said he would bring upon them, and he did not do it. As people humbled themselves, children and brethren, in the sight of the Lord, his forbearance then turned from his promised wrath. He turned from that, and he changed. He allowed a prophecy then to fail, because the people turned their hearts, and they listened. Please turn with me to Isaiah 45 and verse 1 through 4. Isaiah 45. And as you're turning there, we might recall the story of King Cyrus and how he had commanded the children of Israel to begin building the temple. He had commanded them to begin building the temple. Of course, this is the physical temple we're talking about. You could also look at 2 Chronicles 36 and verse 22 and read a little bit more of what Ezra has to say about that. But in Isaiah 45, beginning in verse 1, says, "Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held to subdue the nations before him and loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, my elect, I have even called you by your name and have named you, though you have not known me." Again, brethren, we see very clearly here that God places value on his people. God places value on his people. That is why certain events happened in the world at that time. It could even be why certain events, well, I will say it is, and we can go through some specifics, but it could even be why certain events even happen today, because of you. Again, we can clearly see the value that God is placing on his people. The whole world is moved by how God views what's going on with you. Do you remember that it says that no flesh would be saved, but because of the elect, because of God's children, in Matthew 24, verse 22, that the world would be saved, that flesh would be allowed to go on, and that there would be people in the millennial rule, that there will be flesh still alive at the end, because of the elect. Otherwise, no flesh would be allowed to survive. Then no one would make it. They'd all die. We've often talked about this verse in regards to the elect themselves, but isn't that also true of those who will survive through that time? Don't they also become special and have life because of you? Not just the elect, but because of you, there are other people who also get there, who also are allowed to live. I have 2 points with this, brethren, that we need to always remember. And children, you need to always remember this. Don't underestimate the value that God places on those who do what he wants them to do. Don't underestimate your value. Don't underestimate the value that God places on those who do what God wants them to do. And as God's people, don't underestimate, by extension, the value of the choices that you make. I can break this down into very practical and minute applications. I could talk about whether or not you clean your room at home. Well, it's a choice you have to make. You may think, well, that's kind of pushing it up there. It might be in some ways, but, you know, it still comes down to your mindset and how you're beginning to train yourself, how you're beginning to work with God, how you're beginning to grow. These are basics, very basic. It may come down to how you work at your workplace, how you keep your workplace clean at work. And it's not just your homeroom anymore. Do we pay attention to these things? Do we realize that our choices that we make are how God is looking at us. And that, more than that, brethren, that how God looks at us is how he's dealing with the rest of the world. And that's why we can break it down to those minute choices that we make. But that choice may or may not cause some consequences out there that you might even not even know are because of you, good or bad. Do you realize that? In turn, are you willing to stand in the gap for others? Do you know that if you stick up for something amongst your friends, that they will also change and conform to that? Are you aware of how that principle works? Well, we've talked about, everybody's heard the analogy of the big barrel of apples and two or three bad ones in there, and they begin to ferment out. And eventually, it all has to be removed out in order for the good apples to survive. But in life's application, it is just as much so that if you can maintain good and you can do what's right, your friends will follow. They will learn from you, and they will grow as well. Or they will leave. And if they do that, they're not your friends anyway. You need to move on. But your friends will come with you. You know, they say, well, I don't want to do that. Let's go take that skateboard, whatever it may be. Let's take that skateboard from Johnny. He won't miss it. He has two or three of them. And you say, no, I'm not taking that. I don't steal. Well, it begins to set in their minds that stealing is wrong. And maybe they don't take that skateboard because you stood up and said, I shouldn't do that. These are types of things, children, that we need to be aware of. That we need to know that we can stand up for who we are as well. And our friends will then come with us. We don't have to follow our worldly friends in everything that they do, no matter what the pressures may be. If you allow me just a little more latitude here, I suppose we could turn to Ezekiel 22 and verse 30. Ezekiel 22 and verse 30. Here we will find God talking to Ezekiel about the same value on the righteous we've been talking about. Only in this case, he didn't find anybody. Ezekiel 22 and verse 30. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land that I should not destroy it. And I found no one. Now, I think that we can read between the lines here just a little bit and understand that God actually was looking for somebody to stand in the gap. He wanted to find somebody. He wanted to have a reason to spare more people. He wanted to have a reason to allow mankind to continue. He was looking for that. But he says, I found no one. I didn't find anybody. So I can ask all of our beginning questions in a different way. I can ask you if you're willing to stand in the gap. Are you willing to be that person? To stand up for what's right and hold to what is true. And make a difference to the world. Make a difference in your families. Make a difference to your friends. And help lead them along to what is right. We all do that. And children, don't underestimate your ability to do this either. This isn't all adult stuff. You get to do this too. And I would say that it's almost more important that you do it where you're at. Because where you're at is what everybody else grows up with. And then we get become set in our ways. And pretty soon now, you know what? I'm just taking the skateboard. Somebody else can buy him another one. You know what I mean? You understand what I'm saying with that? Realize the value that God places on his people and don't be muddied down with those that want to tear down the special things. You're not special. You have nothing unique about you. Don't listen to it. It's not true. It's deceptive. They're trying to tear you down. They're trying to make you everything else. You know, they're trying to make God's special, holy, consecrated items commonplace. And we could certainly go back and look a lot of, into that in the old Israelite nation and how a lot of, you know, how all the cleansing and washings they had to go through to reconsecrate and keep things clean. Well, we need to understand that we are like that and we need to remain clean and strive to be clean and cast off those things that don't belong in our way of life with God. Do not become wearied in doing good. We must take part in the weekly Sabbath every week. We must strive to be with God's people. It's where our strength comes from. And we obviously, strength comes from God. I'm not saying it doesn't. It does. But we also are strengthened more by being with people of a like mind. We're also strengthened, children, by being with our friends in the church. I hope that you're building bonds. I know that Jacob has some friends here. Jesse and Stone. I think you're right. Jesse and Stone, are you here somewhere? Did I see all you? You are right here. Yeah, and they met in Saskatoon last year. And here they are again at this feast. They haven't seen each other since last feast, but automatically in play mode and off they go in a relationship. It's good. And we've heard a little bit about building those relationships and those connections at the feast and with each other. We need to make sure that we're doing that with each other and as adults. You know, one of the things I had when I was a kid, very small thing, and I know Mr. Schwartz will probably cringe when I say this, because it was involving candy and teeth, yes. But there was a gentleman, was a deacon when I was a kid, that always gave candy to all the kids when they came to church. You know, very simple thing. But what he was doing, and I talked about it years later on, what he was doing was he was trying to connect good things to the church. Kids' mind, candy, spiritual. I guess if he's chocolate truffles or something, right? No, but he was connecting something good to us. So we knew that we had something good to look forward to at the Sabbath. We connect good things to the Sabbath. Do you do that for your kids? Do you do that for the children that are here? Do you do that for each other? Are you connecting good things to God's way? Or is it just a bunch of stuff I have to work through and it's muddied mess and I know it's the right thing and I'm struggling, which we all will. All of us do. But do you connect good things to God's way of life? You know, you show up here now today, right now, and well, I'm going to get a stuffed animal when I get here. And again, spiritual, not necessarily, but it's still here at the Feast of Tabernacles. It's still a gift. It's giving. It's part of the feast. We enjoy it. Connect good things with the feast. And children, have those memories. And I hope that you do. And I know that you do. I've talked with many of you since we've been here. You're having a good feast. The things you will remember for the rest of your life. When you do good at school, or when you go to school, will you be different? When you go back to school after these feast days, will you continue to be different? Maybe the way to ask that question. When you go to work, will you remain different? Will you shine as that light? Are you mature in the Word of God? Children, you've heard these stories we talked about. The stories I went through, you've heard all of that. You will continue to hear more back in your own congregations. Brethren, we will be doing the same. Are we different than the world? Or are we... And I've seen the sermonette from many before. You know, it's like the string line that's up here, going like this, and the world is on a string line here, and we're going like this. And yeah, I'm better than the world, but we're still not quite where we're supposed to be. It's not about just being better than the world. It's about living God's way, and the world is going to continue to increase that gap between where we're at and where they should be. Remember that. Be willing and ready to stand up for what is right. Are you just better than the world? Think about that. I'm better than the world. I don't do what they do. But are you truly doing what God wants you to do? I mean, in whole, your whole heart, your whole mind, you're in it, without reservation. I want to talk, children, about one more aspect here, and I think it can be exciting for all of us. And I know that these are big things that we can connect to as kids. But have you ever read in your Bibles or heard in a Bible study or someone speaking about angels? Maybe some, a little bit. There are many scriptures that speak about the capabilities of angels. You know, it talks about how they go back and forth with God and the, you know, the chariots that they're riding and that they can sing and that they rejoice and they play instruments and they can walk through walls and they can do all these different things in spiritual form. All of these things can happen. You know, there I don't have a time to go into a great expose about angels, but there is a place that even refers to that the instruments that we hear from angels are actually their voices. You know, when we hear, you know, violins playing or pianos playing or the trumpets playing or the flute playing, that they actually can speak that. It comes out of their mouth. That they have that ability. You know, they maybe even these sounds of trumpets are the angels are sounding. The angels are sounding. They're prepared to sound. And they make their noises. But regardless of all of that, the angels have a great ability that is beyond ours right now. They have abilities that God has given them that are beyond ours. But let's take this just a little bit further. Please turn with me to Hebrews 1 and verse 14. Hebrews 1 and verse 14. And I think what you will find here in these next couple of scriptures will be very exciting for you. In Hebrews 1 and verse 14, it reads, "Of the angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation?" Now, brethren, quickly, I'm going to do this quickly. You can turn with me. I'm going to go fast to Matthew 18 and verse 10. Matthew 18 and verse 10. I'll read it. Once you keep that in mind, the angels are ministering spirits from Hebrews. And in Matthew 18 and verse 10, says, "Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven." Matthew is discussing here both types of children in the Scripture. Well, Christ is. It's written in Matthew. Those who are children of age, by age, those who are children spiritually in the life with God. The bottom line is it's about who God is working with. Think about what this means. You have angels surrounding you even now, little ones, who have these various capabilities beyond man, and they see the face of God all the time. They're talking back and forth. It says they're ministering spirits out to the world. We get that. Okay, well, prophetically they do this. No. Well, when you read it with 18 verse 10, it actually says they're your angels, and they're with you all the time, and they're watching out for you, and they see the face of God all the time. Makes it a little bit more close to home, doesn't it? They're here. How important are you to God? You're so important that God made many elements of His plan before He made you, before He made mankind. He had these things in place. How exciting is it to understand that these angels about us, you know, are here in the very room? You know, Elijah and Elisha talked about it themselves. They saw all these angels and a lot of the activity that was going on in the spiritual realm. And in 1 Peter 1 and verse 12, it says that the angels desire to look into these things. They want to know. You know, no doubt, from an angelic point of view, they were not promised the same promises you have. And even more than that, it says that we're going to be judging angels. That would allude to the fact that there's still judgments to be made about them. Do you think that they might also be curious to forgiveness of sins? I think so. Your sins can be forgiven. Theirs can't right now, as far as we know. They're looking into this. They want to know. You know, your sins, children, of course, are forgiven ultimately when you're baptized. And I hope that all of you will begin working toward that appropriate with age and these things and begin thinking about it, though. Even at a young age, the youngest kids here, there's nothing wrong with having the thoughts. But as you grow and you understand why and make those choices, I hope that you do. The point here again, children, is for you to realize how special you are. God has given you a very special calling that He did not give the rest of the world. It does not say that the angels were given to go out and minister to the world. It said that they were given to minister to His saints. And then it says, again in Matthew, that they're your angels and they're with you and they're watching out for you. What a truly special people you are. When you return from these feast days, the world will tell you the information that you heard at these Feast of Tabernacles is not unique. It's not special. They will tell you that this is foolishness. And I know, especially as young people, we don't like to hear that. We want to grow up. You know, it's set in us from kids from the very beginning. We're told, you can't do it because you're not old enough. You can't do it because you're not tall enough. You can't do it. And on goes a younger type statement, which is appropriate. You know, even when you want to ride the big roller coasters, and it says, well, you have to be this tall, because if you go upside down in that roller coaster and you're not this tall, you're going to fall out. Right? Well, there's a lot of things in life like that, and your parents know most of those things. And that's why at certain ages you don't get to do it. But we still can concentrate on what's right. We still need to be concentrated that way. We still need to take these messages from the feast and apply them in our lives. We still need to mature and grow up and realize that those things will change. You are going to be old enough for those things someday. And what are you going to be like when you mature? It's all in the decisions that you make today. And I could carry this forward for us as a group spiritually. The decisions that you make today are going to ripple into eternity. Have you thought about it that way? Your character traits that you're building now are what you're going to be tomorrow. And if you're doing it right, then those ripples will be allowed to continue in the pond. If they're not, they're going to be removed. We're building ourselves now for what we're going to be tomorrow. And we've watched this world become such a scary place. Scary, I mean, there's so much going on today. It boggles the computer's minds to keep up with anything that's going on today. It's very deceptive. It's convincing us that we can do what we want, and somehow we're all going to come out of it. All of our American movies especially are all about how we fix everything at the end, and we will survive and we'll win. I'm going to survive. That's Hollywood. That's not the truth. That's not the truth. There is a right way and a wrong way. And wrong way can seem, children, like it's fun for a while. You know, it's fun maybe, use that analogy again, to take the skateboard because you get to play with it for a while. But ultimately, you're going to go to jail for that. You're going to be in prison and have trouble. And that's not where we want to go. Will you stand in the gap and make a difference? You know, your differences today may not move mountains. I may not even be able to tell that you did anything if I was standing next to you. But God does. God knows the differences you're trying to make. God knows, obviously, when you're praying for people, when you're fasting, when you're trying to work these things out in private, He knows that. That's part of making a difference. The world's not doing that. I mean, a prayer in the world would be, well, can I just have Johnny's skateboard? You know, I mean, can I have more stuff? Can I get this? Well, our prayers, I hope, are more about, you know, can so-and-so have this? Can you heal them? And we're looking more spiritually minded. Why, children, does this happen? Why does God do this? I know kids like to ask why. Why? Why is the sky blue? Why is it called blue? Well, it's blue. Why is it? Well, because God made it that way. Well, why did God make it that way? Well, you can ask Him. So it'll be, and then we'll get to do that, right? So you never get that answered as a kid, and as an adult, you'll get to ask Him. Why did He do that? Right? So this won't change. But why did He do this for us? Why does He look so much at you? Why did He put angels around you? Why did these created beings that were there before you were made for you? And then this creation for you. Why does He do that? Because He's training you to be a chosen and a royal priesthood, a chosen generation and a royal priesthood. Do you understand what that means, children? You see in the TVs, you can see kings, you know, with the crowns and the tiaras and all the different things that the royal family would wear. You understand you're being trained to be those people. And it takes training. Even in that physical analogy, they're trained for those positions. They grow up and they're trained. They're in the life. They're in the family. They get trained to do that. You're being trained to be in the family of God, to be one of His children. You don't think that there's going to be a lot of help along the way and guiding and big things, children, about how to live your life, how to make it, and that He's going to help you succeed. And I think that that is a great promise that we have from God. Do you understand that you are a pearl of great price for God? You heard it? You remember that analogy? You have the man sold everything he had to go buy this pearl of great price, because he really wanted it. Well, you know, God's God, so He doesn't have to sell everything, but He's looking at you so special as this pearl that He wants you. Wants you. You know, underline that in your notes. He wants you. He's not, I have to put up with this. I want you. I'm after this. I'm desirous of you. I want you in my family. So, brethren, stay focused on this and don't let this information age snatch it away from you. Don't let these times of deception fool you into believing that you're not special and that there's nothing unique about this way of life. It is the most unique way of life out there, and it has the most promise. It's the most fulfilling. And these toys could be up here standing as animals in fulfillment of these days, on into millennium in the kingdom of God and the family of God. It's going to get better. It's going to fix. God's going to fix this. And more than that, today, kids, we need to be active in our life with God. I hope that you make connections at church. I hope that you strive to make more friends, to be active, to get out and be involved with the activities that are in your local congregations and want to be there. I know sometimes it's tough. I know that I've used Johnny. I hope we don't have too many Johnnies in here and it don't mean anything about your name. But you know, Johnny so-and-so hurt me. And so they said, they hurt. Well, you know what, guys, that never changes. That happens into adults. And sometimes it's meant, sometimes it's not. When it's not meant, then it's easier. But you have to be able to understand that. And when it's meant, then you need to forgive and you need to work with it anyway, because maybe they're not as mature as you are. And hopefully you can put it in that category. You can be more mature than they are and handle that. Make a difference. Be inspiring and set the bar higher. Be inspiring to us. The older group as well. You know, they're looking back now at the younger group saying, what will inspire you? Or even more than that, they're looking to see if you're going to do what's right. And that's inspiring, is it not? Older group, seniors, is it not inspiring when you see a youth that's beginning to live God's way of life and beginning to do things right? Don't you feel that inspiring when you see that out there in the congregations? I hope you do. I do. I hope that you help with that. I hope you're about connecting good things to God's way of life. Be mature in God's way of life. Learn and grow, because it really does matter, only matters, what God thinks. Oh, my friend, they don't like me. They think. Well, you know what? Move on. It only matters what God thinks. And God's going to give you so much more than your friends are ever going to be capable of. And ultimately, your friends are going to go the same way you're going. They will. I promise you that. Don't trade some of your friends in this world for your relationship with God. Keep your relationship with God foremost in your minds. Strengthen your minds in your relationships with God. Ask your parents lots of questions. Ask why. I know parents don't throw anything right now. But ask lots of questions, like the toy that you get, especially from the single person that doesn't never shuts off. You know. But no, ask lots of questions. I'm kidding. Ask lots of questions. Ask why. Make sure you understand why we're living the way we live. Ask more questions. You are a special people. You are special children. God's heart wants you to succeed. He wants you in His family. He is very desirous of your success. Let us remember these important things that God is doing for us and always try to live accordingly.